Right. Let's do roll call. It's 1:12. We're back in public session. Ask Ms. Anthony to do roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadluck?
Here.
Dr. Popeo?
Here.
Ms. Gowland?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Yep.
Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin? Dr. Rubin?
Dr. Rubin. Rubin's here.
Okay, we have quorum.
We have quorum. All right, so there's a couple of choices that we have been basically considering as we've been listening through this. It's up to the board members which way you'd like to go. One would be you could basically do this as a formal interview, move it as a formal hearing, or we could draft a consent agreement and with specifics within the consent agreement today, and then Ms. Campbell and Ms. Anthony will give that to Ms. Carvis, the attorney. So which way would the board members like to proceed?
Dr. Sadalek, this is Dr. Campbell. Would it be okay if I asked just a couple quick questions of Dr. Peter Rassinen?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Peter Rassinen, can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, I can.
With regard to patient AS, if I understood correctly, there were two medical type occasions that you described within some type of notes. What did you charge AS for each of those appointments, if anything?
Yeah, first visit was 200. And the second was a $50 fee, and then everything else, medications, he got it. So anyway, that's what those costs were.
Okay, so with regard to your medical practice and patient AS, you collected a grand total of $250 from him?
Yes.
And after the very first appointment, when you collected the $200 fee, how long after that did the podcast event take place?
Let me pull up some dates. Yeah, 78. So it would have been give me a moment, please. It would have been at the end of September, or I'm sorry, end of August, beginning of September.
Okay, and with regard to that appearance, was any of the stipulations regarding him appearing on the podcast related to your services and or discounts or credits to his bill in your office?
No. It was strictly related to his background around the intense episode they had in the hospital with their daughter and his wife's businesses and a lot of the things that he had going on in his life that I felt were pretty, he was doing very well.
Now, respective to the podcast, I understand that there was a request that it was taken down. Was the podcast ever taken down? And if not, is it still active now?
Not up right now. I just have a recording. It's not available on for public view right now because Miranda and the family, they have this, I guess, maybe a marketing team or something like that. Anyways, they wanted me to take that down to not implicate Miranda and the daughter in the crimes that their that AS committed.
And was this on YouTube? Is this where you had it?
On YouTube, Apple, Spotify, was in a lot of different places.
Approximately how many views did you get on each one?
I have no idea. I don't even monitor views. I have never really monitored views over the life of my podcast. I had maybe like 84 episodes right now. And as far as that's concerned, I mean, maybe 30 or 40,000 total over the life of the thing over 3 years, you know.
And so you've had more than one patient on your show?
I don't know that I've had more than, well, I did have JP on my show, but we didn't talk about, you know, I don't know if he brought it up or not, but I don't bring that up with people.
Regarding JP, who was essentially the link to sending out whatever you'd prescribed to AS, were you actively treating JP at the same time as he was acting as the middleman for sending these scripts over to AS?
I wasn't treating him at the time, no.
And so...
Well, actually, no. I take that back. I was treating him at the same time, yes.
And as the... As the go-between, what was his financial or any type of benefit? Was it free access?
No financial benefit. Zero. Yeah, zero benefit.
Just out of the kindness of his heart?
Yes.
Okay. And now, with regard to patients that were in a similar situation to AS with regard to living out of state, if a forensic audit was completed of your patient files, would we find any additional situations similar to this in that there was a similar arrangement where prescriptions were written to somebody locally and then that person provided the scripts to the person who resides out of state that was a patient?
No.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. So, board members, as we discussed, there's a couple of options. Obviously, we would need a consent agreement. Then within that consent agreement, we would need to craft letter reprimand, etc. Or the option would be to move this into a informal hearing. There's, you know, several options. So I'm going to need to get consensus from the board members of which way you'd like to move this. Go ahead, Dr. Rubin, or Dr. Popiel, I'm sorry.
This is Dr. Popiel. I was thinking more so a consent agreement with potentially probation for 12 months, CME in charting and medical ethics, kind of as a general parameter of what I was thinking, but certainly open to other suggestions.
I was thinking basically a consent agreement, same as you were, and perhaps within that consent agreement, have a letter reprimand, 1 year's probation, and CME a charting of at least 8 hours, additional pharmacology for 8 hours. So that would be 16 hours on top of the 30. And in addition to that, probably I don't want to burden our executive director, but random selection of chart notes for the next year be provided on a monthly basis. I'd suggest maybe looking at 5 random chart notes per month for the next year while he's on probation. This would all be stated in the consent agreement.
Dr. Sadalek, this is Dr. Rubin. I am in favor of what both Dr. Sadalek and Dr. Papil said. I'm in agreement. Those are in my notes. And I absolutely agree with looking at chart notes. Two questions. One, that would be in the course of a year, 50, that would be like 60 different chart notes we'd be looking at. Did you mean 5 per month that the board would look at, or that the executive director would be perusing, but you would be passing them on to us?
I would like the board members to be looking at those. We'd have to ask Ms. Campbell what would be the easiest way to do it, but Ms. Anthony could procure those from him. We could review them, and then that would be, I hate to add burden to the board and to our executive director and to Ms. Campbell, but I think that's the only way we're going to see exactly what's going on up there on a for the next year.
Okay. So, you know, there's a few things you might want to consider. You might want to consider starting that chart monitoring in 3 months from the effective date of the consent agreement. That would give Dr. The physician an opportunity to take and complete the CME, so you would be able to see that hopefully reflected in the chart notes. The other thing is most boards do not do their own chart note review. That perhaps the executive director could review those chart notes, and in the event that she believes that they may not be they may not rise to the standard of care at that point, or the chart note standard. They may not be adequate medical records. That's the term in your statutes. At that point, she would bring them to the board's attention.
Okay.
And Dr. Sadalek, when you're referring to chart notes, are you talking about complete charts to check consent forms, labs, propriety of all that? Or are you just looking at the actual clinical notes from the visit?
I'm more concerned, Dr. Rubin, with the clinical notes. Do those correlate to the laboratory? So I'm basically looking for clinical notes, laboratory serologies, to see if there's a flow of thought and logic.
I would agree, only because many physicians don't make reference to the labs that they referred to in their chart note. Many physicians do actually include the actual lab values inside the chart note, so you can actually see, and the date with which they were drawn and which they're referring to. In the case of Dr. Peter, there was some notes made in one of the notes that he talked about lab values but didn't give us the date, so it was impossible to see the flow. So perhaps in a charting course he will go over that and we'll be able to see. So I'm in agreement with you thus far.
Okay. Does any other board member have anything else they would like to have crafted into this letter of reprimand along with the probation? Longer probation, less probation, more CME?
So Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Campbell. I initially, and in line with Attorney Campbell's suggestion. I was thinking more along the lines of around 18 months. And again, perhaps implementing 3 or 4 months into that to, like what we were advised, to allow the time to take the proper education that we assign and implement that into the chart notes. And whether or not we want maybe the first 6 months, so after that first 3 or 4 months, then for 6 months, an aggressive review of the chart notes, you know, 5 chart notes per month. And then, and only then, if a satisfactory result was achieved, then we could start to reduce the number at the discretion of the executive director. And then he would, unless come back before the board, he would move through the rest of his probation, you know, with whatever else we attach on to this, and continuing education, et cetera, et cetera, and a letter of reprimand, et cetera. And then also, just so you're aware, MS has raised her hand in the query as well.
Okay. MS, hold a moment and let me get this put through with my board members, then we can hear from you. So where we are is for a basically consent agreement that would be drafted by Ms. Campbell and Ms. Anthony. Letter reprimand, probation for 1 year, CME, and the CME would be 8 hours of charting. There's a course available for him for that. Pharmacology, 8 hours. And the chart review was suggested that we give him 3 months to get his charting done and then start chart review. Perhaps during that year, we could do 3 chart reviews, maybe every 3 months. And that could be, it's up to the board how many charts you want to review. But the CME would be in addition to the 30 that he already has to do. So that's additional 16 hours. So that's basically 46 hours of CME. The time to complete it, if the board's willing to, I'd say probably trying to get this completed within the next, obviously 3 months.
Dr. Sadalek?
That's when his chart review was started. Yes, sir.
This is Dr. Rubin. Regarding pharmacology CME, if this were to find its way in agreement into the consent agreement, would you want it to be a general or slash generic type pharmacology course, or would you want it more focused on male health or male, what's the word I'm trying to think of? He has a male only practice. And so I think it should be something male and then addictive, male addictive behaviors. I didn't know if you would want it focused in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. And there's,
thank you.
There's plenty of courses out there for that, that are,
I think it would be appropriate and helpful.
And Dr. Sadalek, members of the board, this is Gail Anthony. Somebody did mention early on about medical ethics in CME. Is that still on the table?
I think that was Dr. Popio. And yes, I think that's very applicable.
Yeah, I'm fine with where we're at with the CMEs.
Okay.
Any other things that the board members want to bring up, or Ms. Campbell, any other suggestions?
Not that I can think of at this point.
Okay.
And within the, this is Dr. Campbell, within the consent agreement that we're offering, to offer 30 days for review and signature acceptance by the parties. And if not done then we would refer the matter, I believe it would be, to formal hearing.
That would be my thought, Dr. Campbell. Give his attorney, Ms. Carlos, and Dr. Peter 30 days to either approve it or not. If not, we can just go ahead and move this right to formal hearing.
Sounds good.
And I know you have your hand up, MS, so hold a second.
Dr. Campbell, or Dr. Sadlick members, just real quick, was it 12 months of probation? Because somebody did mention 18 months. As a reminder, you're giving him 3 months to complete his CME. So that's only going to leave X amount of months from that time for chart review. So are we doing 12 months or are we doing 18 months?
Dr. Kim, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you might have been the one that discussed that.
That's correct. I recommended 18 months, of course, at the board's discretion.
Board members have any more questions on that term of probation? Less, more?
This is Dr. Rubin. Yes, I am very curious, Dr. Campbell, why 18 months?
With regard to the launch period, so to speak, we're going to allow 3 months for him to complete the various CMEs and then, you know, enact what he's learned into his practice and his documentation, you know, and then as time progresses, he's taking more CMEs and extending that out a little bit, then gives us a good full year, maybe with an additional month or two to really get an idea of where he's at before we release him back on, you know, on his own, so to speak.
Thank you.
So we have a motion. So we'll need a second, and then we're going to need basically to get roll call, and then we will address you, MS, once I get this completed. So the motion's been made. We'll need a second to that motion.
Okay. And Dr. Sadlick, this is Beth. Could you, just to be clear, the motion would be to offer a consent agreement for probation for 18 months. Is that correct?
That was, yes, Dr. Campbell's suggestion, 18 months, correct?
Okay. Plus a letter of reprimand with CME, 8 hours of CME in charting, 8 hours of CME in pharmacology related to men's health and addiction. And then after, or 3 months after the effective date, to begin chart monitoring and to review 3 charts every 3 months for the duration of the probation.
Ms. Campbell, I think that was the motion crafted.
Okay, and that was your motion, Dr. Sadler? I'm sorry, I missed who made the motion.
Yeah, I made the initial motion, and then the board members kind of crafted it from there.
Okay, so, but that, what I just stated is your, that summary, yeah. Your motion, correct?
Yes.
Dr. Sadlick, I'm happy to second that motion. There was a written note that came across from MS. It left my screen, but I believe it was the first couple of words that I could make out seemed like there was something rather important, I believe, but I need to review that.
Okay, so we got a first, a second. can I go ahead and see if I can get this motion up and going and then address MS at the end? Unless you want to hear from MS first before we carry through with our consent agreement.
Well, if you're okay with it, I believe that that's what MS would like us to do, if I'm reading the situation correctly.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Campbell. MS, as you can see, we're in the we're trying to get a motion passed, but you had something else you wanted to add?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that, Dr. Campbell. I did just want to say that I do not feel that Dr. Peters being very forthcoming regarding prescribing these medications or prescribing medications to anyone other than my husband out of state. I had just contacted somebody, a friend of ours that my husband had referred to Dr. Peter, who did confirm to me that he had been prescribed enclomethine, I believe it's called. And I just really wanted to make sure that I reiterated that I don't think that my husband was the only person that Dr. Peter was prescribing to out of state. And thank you for hearing me out. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Probably most likely Clomid. So we have a first, we have a second. Further discussion, board members, anything you want to add to this?
Just up the spot. I just want to make sure on the CME, that's also include medical ethic CME as well, right?
If you'd like to add medical ethics, then we can do that for you.
Yes, please.
Can you state exactly what you'd like the ethics course to consist of?
Yes, because of the way how this case is turned out with Dr. Peter, definitely the medical ethics CME would be hopefully will help him in regarding to who he able to see and who he not able to see, and also the ethical value of the class hopefully will enforce him on how he going about in a professional way and seeing patient as well.
Okay, so would it be right to assume that you're looking for ethics / professional relations / conduct, that type of course?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Do you have any idea of how many hours you'd like him to complete?
I think usually they have it like for 3 CME. I think that's what they usually have for the class. It's a 3 CME for medical ethic.
Okay. So Dr. Spade, are you adding that as a motion, 3 CME hours on medical ethics?
I'm sorry, yes. Yeah. So my motion is also adding 3 CME for medical ethics for education. Yes.
So that we keep this a little on track, Dr. Sadlick, do you agree to amend your motion to include 3 CME hours on medical ethics?
Yes, I'll amend it.
Okay, and I think Dr. Campbell was the second, is that correct?
That's correct, and I accept that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have the motion out. We have from Dr. Campbell, we have a second. We have one addition. So we have a first, a second, and we're going to need to probably do a roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popeo?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Let's, if we can, board members, let's roll through a little bit more of this and then we can take a quick recess. Dr. Peter, you're excused if you want to be. And thank you, Ms. Carvis, for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Members of the Board. We'll look forward to hearing from Beth and Gail regarding the consent agreement.
Thank you. Let's move on to number 6, review consideration possible action regarding specialty certificate. Is Dr. Stage, Katie Stage, is she on the line? I'm looking at the roster. It doesn't look like she's here. Has everyone reviewed that, board members, her certification in terms of her gastroenterology?
Dr. Rubin, I reviewed it. I didn't have a problem with it.
Okay. You want to make a motion, Dr. Rubin?
I certainly would, but it sounded like somebody was trying to say something.
That was me. Did you want me to do just a real quick summary, Dr.
Yeah,
Sedlick?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And so, Dr. Sedlick, members of the board, this application was originally reviewed at the meeting of January 12, 2023. At that time, the board tabled the matter because the application was the applicant was not present at that meeting. Between the January meeting and today, the applicant was given several opportunities to provide sufficient information for the board to make a decision on the application. The board received a letter from the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians dated March 3rd, 2023, indicating that GastroANP is affiliated with AANP. Based on the most recent information, it appears the application meets the qualifications for specialty certificate.
Any discussion, board members, that you've looked at? Apparently this is a new certification or board certification.
Yes, Dr. Rubin, I mean, they were granted affiliate status by ANP and that was extended. This is falling in line with ANP.
Right.
I don't see any reason. I move to accept.
Okay. Anyone have any questions or anyone want to make a second? I'll second his motion. And we'll need a roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sedlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popeo?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Let me think about it. Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. We're moving on to number 7, review, consideration, and possible action regarding application for interstate telehealth registration. And I'll have Ms. Anthony go through this for us.
Okay. And Dr. Sedlick, members of the board, we have two applications, one from Dr. Catherine Bolter, who holds licensure in Vermont in California, one from Dr. DeRoma, who holds licensure in Vermont. These matters were on the March agenda for consideration. The applicants were not present at that meeting. The board voted to table the matter in an effort to obtain more information about the prescribing scope for Vermont. After review and discussion with others, it appears both applicants hold a special license endorsement for prescribing medications through Vermont Licensing Authority. This special license does grant prescriptive authority to the applicants, which appears to equal or may be broader than the Arizona's prescriptive authority. The Vermont license does not allow the applicants to perform acupuncture.
So is anyone on the line in terms of Dr. Bulter and Dr. DeRoma?
Yes, Dr. DeRoma.
It looks like Dr. is on the line.
Yes, can you hear me? Yes, Dr.
I can hear you.
She had a patient, so she was unable to attend.
Okay. I have a couple questions, and let me start off, and then I'll turn it over to the board. You're going to be working for a company called Focus on Lyme.
No. Their patients.
I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying. You're breaking up. We couldn't hear you.
How about now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but board members, can you hear him?
Well, we can hear him, of course, now, but let's make sure it's clear. Otherwise, I think we should just table this. One doctor's not here. Both of them weren't here last time. This is Dr. Rubin. If we don't have a clear connection, I don't want to waste time.
Okay. Yeah, we're not working for Focus on Lyme. We have some patients.
Let's forget it, Dr. Sadlick. This is ridiculous. I say we ask them to be present in the same room with a landline next meeting when they can both answer our questions. I don't schedule patients when we have board meetings. You know, the doctor didn't find it necessary to make sure they didn't have patients so they could answer questions. We can't even hear the other doctor. This is Dr. Rubin. That's my vote.
Yeah, Dr. Rubin, I tend to agree with you because this is the second or third time we've been going through this. So
yep, I don't want to spend any more time on it.
I'll make a motion. You made the motion, Dr. Rubin. Can you clarify the motion?
Yep. I move to continue this to the next meeting so both doctors can be present on a landline so we can clearly interview them. And if they choose not to, then I say we strike this from our agenda.
I'll second that. Ms. Anthony,
I say let's strike it. I mean, I don't want to go through this.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popeo?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Well, let's move on. We'll move on to number 8. And that's going to be review consideration and possible action regarding status of judicial review. Action filed by Colleen Huber, attendance participation of board executive director in the settlement conference in that manner. I would suggest for legal advice, we move into executive session with Attorney Campbell.
Okay, and Dr. Sadlick, this is Beth. That would be a motion to go into executive session, both to receive legal advice under A3 and to discuss or consult with me regarding the board's position in the litigation under A4. Is that correct?
That's correct.
This is Dr. Popeo, I second that.
Okay. May I do roll call, please? Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popeo?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin is recused. Motion carries.
All right. It is 1:49. We're going into executive session.